Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We will be looking at verses 14 through 16 this evening. And it makes me think of the nature of light. Light is a fascinating thing. No matter how dark a room, no matter how dark a cave or a place, if you let a little light enter, then you have light and vision, regardless of the darkness. Now, obviously, that's not the case with fog or smoke, but just darkness. But nonetheless, we were recently in the United States, and we went out onto my father-in-law's porch, and we sat down to watch a meteor shower. And we saw some, we saw a few, and we saw a couple that were relatively brighter than the others, but we didn't see as many as we potentially could have. And the reason for that was what's called light pollution, because there was other light around. It made it harder to see those shooting stars or those meteors that were crossing the sky. You see, the fewer sources of light in a dark place, those fewer sources seem brighter. If you've ever been in a cave or in a tunnel where you can't see the entrance, and you turn off all the lights and you can't see your hand in front of your face, you understand how darkness can be. But as soon as you turn on a little light, it can be the smallest little light, it feels as though the darkness has gone away. And when you walk out of that tunnel or that cave, and into the sunlight, boy, it is so bright. Even if you put sunglasses on, even if you have a hat or something, it's so bright, and it takes you a while to adjust to the light. These ideas are important when we're thinking about these verses, because Jesus says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, these words should be important to us, and we can determine whether Jesus was speaking corporately or individually. But let's find out exactly what it is he is saying. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." So let's just break it down. It says, "Ye." It's another word for you. You are the light of the world. Well, who is Jesus talking to? Is he talking to everybody? Or is he talking to specific people? Well, in the context, he is talking to his disciples and to multitudes as well. But in the Beatitudes, those statements of blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, that's describing what a Christian is, what a Christian looks like. Not their physical appearance, but their actual characteristics and who they are as an individual. And so when he is saying ye or you are the light of the world, he's speaking to those who trust him. He's speaking to Christians, those who have been forgiven of their sins through him. That portrait is important. It is something that you can say, do I reflect that portrait? Does that portrait describe me? Does it show my characteristics? Am I someone who is poor in spirit? Not in the sense of not having wealth, but in the sense of humble. And do you mourn over your sin? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness, after Christ, and after doing better than you have done? Are you merciful? Are you pure in heart? Do you seek peace? These things describe who a Christian is. Now, he says, ye are the light of the world. That little word are is important, A-R-E. You may think, well, you're getting a little too nitpicky. Well, no, it's important to understand some things. He said, ye, or you are the light of the world. That's a current state. That's not a future state. That's not one day you will grow to be the light of the world. He's saying you are currently, as you are now, the light of the world. if you are a Christian, if you are someone that those Beatitudes reflect, if you've trusted Christ, then your behavior and the things that you do and the things that you say will have an effect, a positive effect on those that are around you. It will become clear and evident to them that you are a Christian. He says, you are the light of the world. Now again, another small word, but it's an important word, because what it does, this word the, makes it a singular light. He doesn't say you are a light of the world, one of many lights. He says you are the light of the world. Now, how is it possible for there to be many Christians and that word to be singular? Well, it's because none of us are a light within ourselves. We are a reflection of the true light. Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. And a Christian is a reflection of that light. So, as a Christian, you reflect the light of Christ. But it is only one light. There are not many lights. There are not many sources to God. There is one source, and that's Jesus Christ alone. And therefore, if you as a Christian, if you are one, if you are the light of the world, then there's responsibility tied into that. There's responsibility for how you act, for how you speak, for not just the words that you speak, but how you speak them. Do you do it for the benefit of others? Do you do it for their spiritual good? Not their physical good necessarily, and not their emotional good, but their spiritual good. Are you telling them about Jesus? Are you telling them about sin? Are you telling them about heaven and hell? It's interesting because the society had this period that they called the Enlightenment. And even recently, people think that that's still going on, and they think that they've got all this great knowledge that they didn't have before. But when you study history and you study some of the ancients, you find out that they had a lot of wisdom that people today don't have. They knew things about nature and about mankind that people today don't have a clue about. The Enlightenment may have an effect on certain things in society, but it's not truly enlightenment unless you know Christ. That's true enlightenment, because he is the true light of the world. So, if Jesus says, if you're a Christian, you are the light of the world, how then are you light? Well, where does the light come from? Well, it comes from Jesus. It comes from him. In John chapter 1, John says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is Jesus Christ that's being spoken of. He is the light of the world. And later on in John, in chapter 3, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The last thing people want is for their wrong things to come to light. And nobody wants to have known what it is that they've done that is wrong. They want to hide it. The best way to hide things is in darkness, is in shadow. But Jesus shines the light into all those dark places. In John chapter 8 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's that sense that Jesus is the ultimate light. Well, how is it that Jesus, being the ultimate light, makes us light? Well, let's think about it. Think about the sun and the moon. Does the moon have its own light? No, it doesn't. Even though it lights up the night sky, it has no light of its own. It doesn't shine anything. So where does this light come from? Well, it comes from the sun. It's when the sun hits the moon that the moon glows. And that light is reflected back to the earth. That's the situation that we have. There's a story in Exodus 34, of the similar situation with God's glory and Moses. Moses was in the presence of the glory of God, and when he came down from that mountaintop, he comes down to the children of Israel, the Israelites, and they look at him, and his face is glowing. Was it because Moses was such a good person? No. It was because the glory of God had shone on him, and it was radiating back again. If you've ever gotten a bad sunburn, you kind of know what this feels like. You feel like you're almost on fire. Well, that's the same idea with glory. And it's the same idea with Jesus as the light of the world. You don't have a light within yourself that is your own. It is the light of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus teaches in John chapter 14 through 16, he says, all those that believe upon me are in me, and I am in the Father. It's the same situation. We're here to bear fruit. Well, how can you bear fruit? Only when you abide in the vine. See, Jesus is telling us that any light that we have is a reflection of his light. If we're not following after him, if we're not walking after him, then of course we're not going to shine very brightly, are we? If we don't know him, we have no light within ourselves. You see, he says, ye are the light of the world. You see, the world right now sits in darkness. It's in darkness. Matthew chapter 4 says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. How do I say the world is in darkness? We can see outside and there's light. Well, what we're talking about is spiritual darkness. Because sin is spiritual darkness. There is death through sin. Back to that passage in John chapter 3. He says, he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is it about Jesus? Well, he is the Son of God. He is the one that came and sacrificed himself. But the world loved darkness rather than light. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so that's a question we can each ask ourselves. Do I love darkness or love the light? I'm not talking about the light in a room. I'm not talking about the sunlight or physical darkness. I'm talking about spiritual things. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love God? Do you desire to see his name glorified? Do you desire to see his name honored where you are and in your life? Or do you desire the things of this world? That's a question that we can only answer ourselves. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, that's the way of the world. You know, it's not hard for a young child to believe that God exists. It's not hard for a young child when they see the world around them to say, yeah, God is real. Yeah, look at, nothing else can explain these things but God. But then as people grow and they get older, they start to say, yeah, you know what? There is some explanation other than that. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Because they start doing things that are wrong. And they don't want anybody to shine a light on those wrong things. They don't want people to know about the wrong that they've committed. One of the hardest things to do is to confess, to say you're sorry, and to say what it is you've done wrong. People don't like to do it. Nobody seems to like to do it. But that's what God asks of you when you come to Christ. Because guess what? He already knows what you've done. He knows everything. Every thought and intent in your heart. He knows it. He says, come unto me. But the world, they think that light is foolishness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What is it that God is saying? He says, you know, it doesn't make any sense logically in human thought that you cannot attain to what he has, to who he is. He's pure, he's holy, you can't be in his presence because of your sin. And so God has sent his son to die on your behalf. Humanly speaking, that doesn't make any sense. Why would God do that? But that's exactly what he does. And the world says, well, that's just foolishness. What are you doing paying any attention to that? And God says, no, this is wisdom. This is true wisdom. To know God and his son. To know God and who he has sent. For what purpose? To save the lost. To save sinners. And so Jesus, he says, you are the light of the world. And he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why do we think about that? Well, we don't think about cities on a hill nowadays. It has been quite a few centuries since we've had to think about that. You know, it used to be, if you go over to York, you'll see this great big city wall. That city wall has been around for something around 800 or so years. That city wall was built to protect the city from invaders, from those who wanted to take what they had. That's what you had to do for a long time. Well, it'd be for centuries past, it used to be that you would build your city on a hill. You know why you'd build your city on a hill? Because it was even harder to attack. Because you didn't need to build as big of a wall, because they had to come up a hill first to get to where you were. There's only one problem when you set your city on a hill. Everybody can see it. If you set your city down in a valley somewhere, you know what? People don't see it as easily. But when it's on a hill, boy, everybody can see it. I remember many years ago back in the United States, I had some family that lived in Kansas. And I always joke that they lived in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, because it felt like in the middle of nowhere. The county that my family lived in was a large area, but it had very few people in it. It had about 10,000 people in the county. And the town that they lived in was the county seat. It was the biggest town in the county, and it had 1,500 people in it. When you're in Kansas, is very flat, and when you're driving along in Kansas on those roads in that county, boy, there is nothing. And it is dark. And you can see a town of 1,500 people miles and miles away because of the glow emanating from that town. Because there is nothing in between. There's no other lights around. And you can see the lights of that city. And that's the kind of idea that Jesus is talking about. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And Jesus says that's what you ought to be like. So much so that your light, your reflection of him, can't be hidden from anybody. It's not something that people can say, yeah, not quite sure about that one. I'm not sure if he's a Christian or not. They ought to be able to figure it out just like that. Because of the light that is reflected upon you from Jesus Christ. That's why he says, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. Who in their right mind is going to light a light and then hide the light that they've lit? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you light the light? No, you want the light to shine so you can see. Otherwise, you don't light the light. That's the same thing with being a Christian. Why would you want to hide the fact that you're a Christian? What are you afraid of? What do you think is going to happen? Will you lose friends? You might. I know I have over the years. But I have a friend that is better than any other. And he's a friend that died for me and gave his life for me. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When you think about these things, when you think about what Jesus says here, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because he's the one who gets the glory for the things that you do. And so you want the things that you do to reflect well on the person who gives you his name. If you call yourself a Christian, then you are named after Jesus Christ. You want to reflect well upon that. You want to give him the glory. Peter says in his first epistle, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, the things that we do reflect unto who we are. They reveal who we are. Are we someone that's following Jesus Christ? Well, that will be evident in the things that we do and the things that we don't do, in the things that we say and the things that we don't say. People will see it. And if you say you're a Christian and don't act like a Christian, well, people are going to talk about that just as much, if not more. So the question comes, are you a Christian? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? You have eternal life in him. So how do you answer that? How do you tell? Well, look at these Beatitudes. Look at the Scriptures. Do you love God? Do you love his people? Do you want to spend more time with them? Do you want to spend more time in his word? Do you want to spend more time in prayer? Do you want to do the things that please him? Those are all evidences of whether or not you are a Christian. Do you reflect Jesus Christ in your life? Do you have a light that other people see? Or is it darkness for you? I hope that as you think about these things, you can evaluate, you can examine your life. And then you can look to Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and you can trust him because of it. We point you to him. Amen.